This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly Extra Time Europa League and European Conference League edition. We are down to the last 16 in both competitions. You're with Dan Roebuck and returning RJ, Steve Wiss and Will White. Playoff rounds completed. 13 of the 16, both teams to score. Yes, 12 of the 16 hit over 2.5. 9 of the 16 over 3.5. Steve, it was fairly wild, as we suggested at the time it might be. Same again this time around? Does it get a little bit more serious? We've got teams that didn't play in the playoff round, obviously, joining the fray. Will we see a little bit of Champions League caution now that we're getting closer to the finals of both of these competitions?
Well, hello, everyone. And this is my favourite show, Europa League and Conference League. I love these competitions. I can't believe I actually lost in the previous round. I think it's disappointing when that happens, because I really just feel like I can win on any game at the minute with the layout and the teams that are involved. So, yeah, I think it will be the same again. I think until we get perhaps, say, the semi-finals, and even then, it depends who's left in it. There might not be that much pressure on a team to, say, qualify for the Champions League, or there might be. But teams generally are a lot more open in Europa in the Conference League, and it leads to less pressure overall, leading to goals, leading to more wild encounters, and especially now the away goals rule's gone, which is what we love about Europa League.
Mm-hmm. Will, we talk about your ratings. I would find it impossible to try and just sort of assess, you know, a Norwegian side against a Spanish side, a Polish side against a Portuguese side, and so on. Does it get easier now we know what these teams have done over the course of this competition? Does it get harder because of the state of the competition? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, especially early on group stage, it's very challenging from a ratings perspective, because you've got the challenge of pricing up each team domestically. And some of these leagues are not leagues that, you know, I or other model bettors would typically bet on and trade and therefore model. Then you've got the challenge of rating leagues against each other. And then you've got the challenge of trying to interpret how a manager is going to prioritize or not Europa League or Conference League competition. So from a modeling perspective, it's complicated, but that's not just the case for us as bettors. It's also the case for the line makers, right? So there are more errors out there. It's just harder to find them.
And that would become apparent, I think, or it did become apparent, RJ, when we look at how many winning favourites we had, the playoff games, just 6 of 16. I was looking at the prices earlier today. I mean, as Will says, it's challenging for bettors, but mistakes are made by the market makers as well. We've just all got to work a bit harder at it, I guess.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we approach, or how I approach the finding value is looking at recent form, whether it's domestic. The only way that you can really quantify looking at recent data for tournament play is if there's five plus, in my opinion, like 4 or 5+ games that you can reference that data from tournament play, right? Because it is different than domestic play. So that's why I factor like last 25 typically, because it is challenging to kind of correlate. You can use coefficients and XG and all the stats in the world. Like, I'm a big stats guy, but it's very difficult because you have to look at the competition that these teams face. Is it similar to the teams that they're going to be facing in the tournament? What's their style of play? What's their tactics? But it is challenging with favorites, because, you know, in the Europa League, you often find upsets where lower seeded teams defeat favorites, and there are good high value opportunities because of that. And then you have to look at teams with, you know, who are performing well historically in European competitions, who have experience, and then the depth. Because if they're factoring in going for their domestic titles, the schedule could be crammed. There could be some rotation. So there's a lot of factors that you have to consider. And that's what makes it challenging. But it's fun for us to, as handicappers, to find opportunities based on that.
Just before we get into the picks, I just want to get your guys' thoughts on Liverpool. They are the favourites for the Europa League. They are plus 175 to win the competition. Right at the start of the season, they were favourites. The teams that have dropped down from the Champions League haven't really made that much of a difference right at the top of the betting here. And obviously, Steve, they are, at the minute, challenging for the Premier League title. They've got a huge game coming up against Manchester City at the weekend. They're also in the FA Cup, of course, as well. They could end up with four pieces of silverware at the end of the season. I mean, how do we assess Liverpool at the moment? They make the outright market. They take on Sparta Prague, first leg away, Thursday, 12:45 kickoff. What's your thoughts on Liverpool? Is it a play? Is it a lay? Is it a watching brief?
Lay them. I really like Sparta Prague in this match. And I mean, I could have given you 10 picks on this show. So I've only gone with my best pick. So this is not an official selection. But I think Sparta Prague draw double chance or plus a half Asian handicap, close to even money with BetRivers. You could do a lot worse because this is a situational spot for Liverpool. They're looking ahead to a huge game against Man City. That is such a massive game and the full priority is going to be on that. We know they've got a lot of injuries anyway. Jurgen Klopp is not going to take any risks with players. Against a Sparta Prague team who, I mean, this is quite a raucous atmosphere here. They're going to be bang up for it. They're going to sense some blood and sense a scalp. And they're not that bad. Sparta Prague are an underrated team. I said that on the last show when they beat Galatasaray. I think I could see them winning. I think they can win the first leg. Now, over the two legs, you know, Anfield, it's a different story, isn't it? But, you know, it would not surprise me in the slightest if there was a shock result here. Liverpool's kids, Klopp's kids have done very well recently, but I think this is a step too far. Sparta Prague draw double chance for me, but it's not an official pick.
Yeah, I mean, Will, look, I've faded Liverpool their last two games. I backed Southampton on the Asian handicap, I lost, and then I backed Forest plus one at the weekend, and still not happy about what happened in the 189th minute or whatever, however many added minutes Liverpool got to make sure that they got their win. What's your Liverpool thoughts here? Outright, this game in particular, where does it sit for them in terms of their priorities at the moment? And what do you think that Jurgen Klopp might do against Sparta away from home?
Yeah, I was also on Southampton plus 1.25 in the cup game. That line should have easily won. But Liverpool, you know, they just did Liverpool things and finished their chances and Southampton missed theirs. Actually, Southampton rotated totally in that game as well, but still they should have won. Forest is, yeah, we all know what happened in the Forest game. What is this line all about? Well, from a ratings perspective, Liverpool are very strong favourites, right? Minus 1.20 goal favourites here, but that's assuming them at full strength and clearly they're not going to be full strength here. And I think their kind of reserves 11 is going to be weaker than it normally would be because they've still got 9 or so players out with injuries. Salah may or may not get some minutes here because of City at the weekend. Same with Szoboszlai. So, you know, I'm assuming it's going to be a similar 11 to the Southampton game. Liverpool went off minus 1.25. They got backed in there with 3 or 4 kids starting. Went off minus 250 on the money line at home. Now, the challenge for me is kind of trying to figure out where Sparta Prague kind of lie on the ratings spectrum. And I've got them similar rated team to Southampton, which might sound disrespectful, but these days, the top championship sides, you know, are essentially similar quality to the lower Premier League sides. And these are good football teams. So Sparta Prague, I agree with Steve. They're no mugs and they disposed of Galatasaray in the last round. This is, I guess, a roundabout way of me saying this is a no-bet game for me. But yeah, I mean, gone are the days where you could blanket back against English teams going away in Europe and playing reserve 11s featuring 3 or 4 or 5 kids. These days, let's say they start 3 kids and 8 bench players. Those bench players will all be like seasoned internationals, the likes of Cody Gakpo. I mean, so it's still a strong, strong team. If I extrapolate my ratings to this game and then adjust for likely lineups, I come out to a minus 0.65 goal handicap supremacy for Liverpool, which is essentially what they're trading at now. maybe they drift on game day with a weak lineup, and I'd be looking to back them. But yeah, current prices are about right.
I mean, I could persuade myself to fade Liverpool here, RJ, and then I start looking at Liverpool at just a bit minus money at minus 120 and think, well, they keep getting the job done. And as Will has just pointed out, second string players, you know, to players that might not start every single game are still very, very good. And we could be sat here, you know, late Thursday night thinking, crikey, why on earth didn't we just back Liverpool? Because they just keep on winning at the moment. I mean, Sparta are plus 450 to qualify. And if I look the other way, I can think, yeah, that might be a fair bet as well. It's a difficult one, this. What's your handle on it if you were to have a free $25 play on it?
Yeah, I tend to agree with all the theories and thoughts that everyone's stated so far. I think even with the 9 injuries, right? Salah, Gravenbach, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Jota, like the list goes on for the injuries for Liverpool, but yet they just continue to get the job done. And one may argue that, you know, no offense to Sparta Prague, I think they have a strong, they're a good team, but teams like Liverpool, sometimes their second string could be just as good. That's how good this team is. Now, that could be up for debate, but Liverpool just keeps getting the job done. 1-0 victory over Nottingham after, you said, 198 added minutes or whatever last over the weekend. And then Liverpool's defense has just been strong. That's the main reason why they just keep winning. They've conceded 3 goals in 6 matches, and they've scored 16 goals in that time period. So generally speaking, you score a lot more than you concede, you're going to win games, right, no matter who you play. Sparta Prague, mixed results, right, over the last few matches. They had a 0-0 draw against Slavia Prague domestically. They've scored 14 goals in their last 6 matches, but they've had a significant amount of possession, right? They typically dominate the ball possession, but they, you know, their conversion rate isn't quite high. They have a fairly full squad. I think Preciado, the former Genk midfielder, he had a red card over the weekend domestically. I'm not sure if he'll be out, but you know, if I were to have a free $25 bet, yeah, I'm taking Liverpool minus 113, minus 120, just because why not? I mean, that's what I'd feel comfortable going in. And even though they're on the road, they're still a better squad with all the injuries, in my opinion.
Let's get some picks, shall we? We've got plenty of official plays when it comes to the Europa League and the Conference League show. We're going to start with Roma versus Brighton, which is Thursday, 12:45 Eastern here. Roma plus 108, Brighton plus 245, draw plus 255. Roberto De Zerbi, who's plus 600 to be the next Liverpool coach, incidentally. His Brighton side have struggled domestically, Will, recently, and the renaissance for Roma continues under Daniel De Rossi. Talk us through your play here.
I noticed your stat on the notes, Dan, says, what does it say? 1 loss in 9 for Roma under Daniele De Rossi. But the way I look at this is 8 of 9 over 2.5 since De Rossi took over. And I think not only is this an opportunity to take advantage of a market that hasn't kind of come to terms with the fact that Roma's style of play under De Rossi is completely detached from what it was under Mourinho, but also we're looking at markets across the Europa League and Conference League in this round where the over-under lines are kind of off when you've got two attack-minded coaches going head-to-head. I think the market makers are kind of looking at this in a similar way that they look at the first legs of the Champions League ties and kind of assuming that teams are going to come in, kind of looking to approach it cautiously and kind of ease into things. I don't think that's going to be the case in this matchup. If you look at the last playoff round, so the last round of Europa League games, first leg, 6 of 8 went over 2.5 and 12 of 16 across both legs. I don't feel like the teams have the similar kind of level of pressure that they do going into these first leg games as they do in the Champions League. We've talked about the transition of Roma under De Rossi a little bit. The last 2 games, 4-1 win versus Monza, 3-2 win versus Torino. Over underlines there set at 2.5 and 2.25 respectively. You know, Torino are kind of a defensive-minded team. Monza kind of somewhere in the middle. Brighton are certainly an attack-minded team. And I know that's dropped off a bit recently and Brighton's goal expectancy has dropped, but they're still 6 from 8 over 2.5. Six of their last 8 have gone over 2.5. And I think you know, if you think about Brighton over the season and you think about De Zerbi as a coach, it's rare that you'll see over under two and a half lines. Normally, the lines in the Premier League certainly will be over under three and a quarter. So 2.5 is very, very rare. So I think we're looking at two attack-minded coaches going head-to-head with a plethora of offensive weapons. You've got Dybala, Lukaku for Roma. You've got Adingra, Buonanotte, Welbeck for Brighton, Mitoma's. But the Mitoma injury slightly hampers this bet, but there's more than enough talent on the pitch. I expected the line to be at least over under 2.75. I know that it's shortening a little bit. I've got this pick in at -115 when I was looking late Saturday night. I'd back this into the over under 2.75. But yeah, pick is over 2.5 at -115.
It makes a really good case for that. I do like the way that De Rossi's changed it. And the market makers might not have caught up with that just yet. Incidentally, Brighton +1100 to win the Europa League. Roma +1600. You might make a case for Roma on what we've seen recently.
Roma win that first leg for me. Brighton, I have gone well off. I mean, they've got beaten by Luton and Fulham by a 7-0 combined score recently. They're falling off the wayside. They can't defend that well. Roma will get through over two legs for me.
Do you think that De Zerbi's not targeting this competition now and just almost... I mean, he made a lot of changes again at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That is the thing that would put me off backing them, Roma, in this first leg, because, you know, Brighton may well have their eggs in this basket. And they, look, on their day, they can beat anyone, can't they, I suppose? But I don't like what I've seen recently from the club that they really struggled for wins, especially in the Premier League.
Yeah, so, still in the top 10. I mean, they're drifting a little bit, aren't they? It's an odd situation, I think, there. I think there's a little bit of needle with De Zerbi and Roma as well. I can't remember the story.
He's got needle with everyone, hasn't he?
He has, yeah, when he was at Sassuolo. I can't remember the story there. Or certainly he was somewhere and there was a little bit of needle. But let's face it, yeah. That is often the case with coaches in Italy. Speaking of Italy, we're going to stay in Italy for Milan against Slavia Prague, 3 p.m. Eastern, this one. Milan short price at -215 to win the first leg. Slavia Prague +600. Much needed win for Milan at the weekend against Lazio. First win after three without. Goals may be beginning to dry up, and that potentially is an angle in for bettors here, RJ.
Yeah, so I'm going back to the underwell, right? I've turned a new leaf this year, but
You're a new man, RJ.
I'm a new man, right? New man with a new plan here. Hopefully this comes through. I like under 2.75 at -109. AC Milan, you know, I think from a statistical analysis perspective, I see this as a tight match, right? This points towards a strategic type battle in the midfield. Both teams likely to be cautious in their approach. I think Slavia Prague have shown they have potential. They've actually scored, they've scored first in 100% of their matches domestically this season, believe it or not. And, you know, maybe that stat suggests AC Milan will need to be wary of their threat from the onset. Maybe they'll have to make sure they batten down the hatches, if you will. Moreover, I think corner kicks in card statistics, indicate this will be a disciplined type approach. I saw pretty low numbers for both in this engagement here, and I think they'll just be focused on structure and avoid unnecessary bookings. Again, a strategic type approach, and given the insights in the last 25 matches, because I didn't have enough data to back from a tournament perspective. Both sides concede under one goal, right? Slavia Prague on the road, 0.77. Milan, 0.88, just under one. Both sides keep a clean sheet at least 40% of the time in their respective home and away spots. In fact, over 2.5 goals occurred, occurred 45% of the time for both these sides. So statistics, approach, tactical. I expect a low scoring affair here, so under 2.75 at -109 is my play.
We can't hear you, Dan.
There we go. First of the season for me. Yellow card. I don't know where my yellow cards have gone. They're plus 700 to win the Europa League. Milan, it's a bit short. Will, Steve, any thoughts on Milan to win it? I don't think I would back them to win it.
What do you think, Will?
I think they're a little short. Yeah. It's hard to look past Liverpool and Leverkusen, isn't it? But yeah.
I mean, a draw, I guess, could go against one of those aforementioned teams, but be interesting to
see.
No,
they're not a bad side. I think they're a fair price, really. I've watched quite a lot of AC Milan since the start of the year, and they've had some quite wild games down. To be honest, they should. Slavia Prague, by the way, are a bit of an underrated team. I've seen more of Sparta Prague than Slavia, but Slavia go under the radar a lot, I think. I think Milan should get past them over two legs, though.
Marseille-Villarreal, we're going to talk about next. All three of our handicappers have got picks here. There's variations on a theme for this game. It's 3 p.m. Eastern. Marseille minus 107, Villarreal plus 290, draw plus 255. Steve, just tell us the backstory with the Marcelino and the coach here with Villarreal.
Yeah, well,
This is going to be interesting for him, isn't it? It's not going to be nice for him, I suspect.
No. Marcelino was appointed Marseille coach last summer, and he managed seven games in charge. And probably the highlight of it was, or low point of it was, getting knocked out of the Champions League by Panathinaikos over two legs. But there was a lot of issues with the fans. The ultra groups didn't like the style of football. They didn't like the way that the club was being run, and there were rumored to be death threats were sent to Marcelino. Which prompted his resignation after just seven games in charge. So, I mean, it was all an absolute mess. Obviously, since then, Gennaro Gattuso's come into Marseille. They've sacked him. So, Jean-Louis Gasset, the failed Ivory Coast boss, is now in charge.
Yeah, the Africa Cup of Nations winner, yeah.
Yeah, so... look, Marcelino, I mean, this is crazy that they've drawn each other, isn't it? I mean, what the earth are the chances of this? It's going to be... He's in for an interesting reception.
He is. We're predicting goals here. Steve, you go first.
Yeah, well, Will's got a pick for this game as well. He put it in the group chat first, and I've kind of gone...
Oh, Will can go first if he wants.
Well, I'll start it off. Because
start the ball rolling.
I'll reveal what Will's pick is. Will's pick's over 2.5. Now, I'm going one more. I'm going over 3 Asian goals, right? Because I just think that this is a clash of great style. I mentioned on the European preview show last week, I think Villarreal, I'm going to make them kind of my wagon team for overs for the rest of the season in the right spot. And I mean, both of these legs should go well over. Villarreal, it's like rinse and repeat, isn't it? They can't really defend. They've got one of the worst XGAs in La Liga. We know they've been involved in high scoring games in Europe. But they do have a lot of offensive weapons. So combine that with a recent resurgence of Marseille, Jean-Louis Gasset's come in. I think he's actually wanted to get the fans on side. There was not a lot of fans wanted him in. I mean, this is someone who failed, was sacked midway through the African Nations Cup for Ivory Coast.
Who would be acceptable for Marseille supporters? I'm not going to visit. I'm not going to go to Marseille anytime soon.
You know what?
They have an issue with everyone.
On the day that Gattuso was sacked, there was
Would Chris Waddle be welcomed with open arms?
There was a name trending on Twitter, and I got excited momentarily. Bielsa's name was trending on Twitter. He's never going to come back again, is he? But look, come on. Jean-Louis Gasset wasn't a very enterprising appointment. It was quite a depressing hire, really. But what he's done, he's come in and he's trying to get the fans on side by just playing exciting football. You know, you can't knock 12 goals in 3 games. This is standout over for me for the round. I'm really, really confident in this. But if this was the European preview show, this would be my 2-unit pick. But it's one unit on over 3 Asian goals at plus 150. So I'm getting.
Well, we could make it a triple play because I know RJ leans this way. But Will, talk us through your reasoning here because you're a bit more cautious with an over 2.5 line.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I mean, Steve took the words out of my mouth, really. A lot of the stats that he just reeled off there are the ones I've got in my notes as well. I've gone with the main Asian line of over 2.5 at -113 because, generally speaking, on the main Asian line, you'll be paying less juice. I know it's a shorter price, but in terms of the margins that the books that BetRivers will put into their prices, you'll get lower margin.
Is that because it is the main line and therefore...
Yeah. Because it's the main line. The alt lines generally have more margin built into them. So I'd always suggest to a bettor to look at the main Asian line first to see if there's anything you like. If you've got a particularly strong opinion, like Steve has in this game, and like I do actually, you can then look to the alt lines and kind of look to do a ladder play like RJ would suggest. But I mean, and this is a great example. Like this line just blows my mind, really. You've got, on the one hand, you've got Jean-Louis Gasset, who, since he's come in three games as Marseille manager, there have been 15 total games, total goals. Obviously, that averages 5 a game. And that's all you really need to know to pull a trigger on an over 2.5 line here. I am, La Liga is probably my strongest league, the one I follow the most. And Villarreal, like Steve says, they are certainly an overs team as well. 12 of 18 have gone over 2.5 since Marcelino took over in November. They just can't defend. As Steve says, they've conceded the third most goals in La Liga. They've conceded the second most XG. On top of that, their captain and key defender, Raul Albiol, is out until the end of the month. So that'll throw even more uncertainty into the mix. It's already a pretty disorganized Villarreal defense, isn't it? Marcelino has tried to tighten things up, but there's only so much you can do with the players they've got at their disposal. I quite like Villarreal to go through here, though. They're plus money. They're underdogs to go through, I believe. And I wouldn't put
anyone minus off. What? -106 with Marseille -125.
Yeah, so technically they are underdogs. Yeah. You may be able to get plus money if you wait.
If you shopped around, you might.
No, I wouldn't. Didn't want to say shop around. I wanted to say wait. But quite fancy Villarreal. But main play, and this is standout value, I think, is over 2.5, -113. If this game goes under, it'll be quite incredible.
RJ, I mean, have you got anything to add in terms, because you said, look, you know, I like the overs here, but I appreciate the boys have got their picks in first. But I mean, this would be a play for you as well, I guess. Would you go over 2.5? Would you go over 3? What would your line be? What do you think?
Yeah, like Will mentioned, I would potentially ladder this over 2.5 at minus, well, I think 113 doesn't make sense to me. That's something I'd be all over. I will be all over it. In fact, I'd probably lock it in after this show. And then I would consider over 2.75, maybe over 3 as well. I very rarely do that, by the way, like in terms of laddering plays. It's just not something
I know. We've pinned you as the ladder guy. And I know you said you're not before, but you know,
yeah,
once you get tarred with a brush, and it's not the worst brush to be tarred with. Once you get tarred, that's it. You're the ladder guy.
The ladder guy. But as long as it's safety, it's updated.
Anything over 3 stories, as I found out to my roof, anything over there, you've got to have a scaffold tower. Can't have ladders over 3 stories. Anyway, we like overs, but there is another play, because RJ's found another one for us, and we go to the bookings, the cards here. RJ, talk us through this one.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. Looking at over 4.5 cards here, -112. I needed to find some other opportunity in this match. I felt like this was just a match that has a lot of potential, right? There was even corners I considered in this match as well. I think it was like over 10.5 at even money. This was a very high total. But looking at cards, simply put, there was 8 matches for Marseille with data. Villarreal had 6 matches with data in tournament play here. And combined, believe it or not, 6.4 cards per match between both these sides in their respective home and away spots. So I can tell you what, I look at cards pretty seldomly, but very rarely do I see statistics where it's showing 5+ cards, let alone 6. And this has the makings, you know, a French versus a Spanish side. I don't know. This just has the makings of a chippy match. And every match in their respective home and away spots in tournament play has seen over 4.5 cards. So aside from trends, what's at stake? I expect to see a lot of goals here, like the boys have mentioned. And looking at cards, over 4.5 at -112.
0-0 incidentally is 11-1 just for the doubters slash haters.
If it ends 0-0, the books are gonna be.
What you lay me 0-0, Steve? What you lay me 0-0?
Oh, this is like 20-1 or something. I don't know. If it ends
0-0, the comments are going to be build
up material. Everything. This is like same game parlay territory. There's so much. I mean, the cards is a great one as well because I mean, both managers might end up booked as well. I mean, it's going to be a fiery atmosphere. This could be crazy. This could be like 2 or 3 all. You know.
Yeah,
Let's hope he delivers. We are running behind schedule, so we're going to rattle through Conference Corner, where we've got a few plays from Steve and Will. I might just ask RJ about the Mulder game as well. Ajax Villa, first of all, 12:45 Thursday. Villa plus 250 to win the Europa Conference League, and Steve, they've found their form. Recently, they've taken an Ajax side that have been basket cases themselves, haven't they, this season? I mean, Villa are minus 155 away from home to claim a first leg advantage. What are your thoughts? What's your play in this one?
I'm going to start off with an apology, actually, Dan. Mm-hmm. I'm going against what I said on Twitter after the result of the last round. I said, whoever Ajax are facing, I'm going to be betting against them, whatever. The bet is not on Villa. It's going to be on over...
Why Villa?
I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'm going over 3.25 goals instead at minus 103. I just think Villa have got a massive game upcoming at the weekend against Spurs. And ultimately, you know, top four or win the Conference League. We've had this debate before, haven't we? I might have been wrong. I think the general gist from the fan, from Villa fans, is that they actually would rather get in the Champions League for next season. So, and I guess the club with the money as well. So, look, I think they'll have an eye on that game, and I can't be sure of the lineup for Villa here. And also, they are a bit short. And I know it's Ajax, and Ajax are not very good. Ajax are an absolute shambles, but they're still a prideful team with a lot of European experience. I'll take the goals instead because I think Villa play really only one way, don't they? Probably the goals haven't fired as much in the Conference League as I thought they would. But I mean, we saw Ajax against Bodø/Glimt. They're very lucky to have got through that tie. Just not a very good side this year, but they do have some offensive weapons that you've got to respect. They've got a defensive suspension in Sotalo. Yeah, might make them even better, actually make them better. I don't know. I mean, there weren't many good performances defensively, were there, from them? In all season. So I'll take the over 3.25 goal line. It's a good go-to bet for any Ajax game, isn't it, usually? And Villa, for that matter. I think we should still... If I knew Villa were going to be full strength and focusing on it, I would be very confident in an away win here. But it's just that niggling doubt with a big game at the weekend. So over 3.25 goals at minus 103.
That's slightly different line, Steve. When it comes to the Asian goal line for Mulder against Club Brugge, it's almost each of two on the money line. Norwegian domestic season still yet to start, but they were pretty good against Legia Warsaw the previous round. What's your play here?
A bit annoyed in the last round that I didn't get on Mulder in either leg. I think Will's probably a bit annoyed about that one as well. Also annoyed I didn't get on the goals. I was just thinking they might be a bit undercooked and they might not be firing, but they look pretty good, Mulder. I think they're actually a big price to get through this tie at plus 160 to qualify. I think they could get through against Club Brugge. But I like the goals here, over 2.75 goals at plus 108. You know, we just saw in the previous round that not much has really changed with Mulder. They're really on the front foot, this 5-3-2 formation. And, you know, Club Brugge are well used to facing Norwegian teams. They actually got the better of Glimt twice in the group stage. Yeah, they've got a history of doing all right against Norwegian teams, in fairness. They've got a few players who are used to playing that league. And, yeah, I don't know as much about them as, obviously, Mulder, but I've looked back. I mean, Bruges look like they're going to be playing 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, which is an interesting clash of styles. Generally, fairly high-scoring team with a lot of goal-scoring potential. I think there should be goals at both ends. It's just Mulder matches... are a magnet for goals, and now that they've got a couple of competitive games out of the way, I'm really confident they're going to be even sharper than they were before. There's a bet I really like in this game, and I can't get on yet with Bet Rivers because they're not offered a goal scorer, but Fredrik Gulbrandsen from Molde is to score at any time. I would happily get on him at anything at say plus 130 or 140 and above. He's a really he scored four goals in the previous match. At one stage, I think he could have gone a long way in soccer, but he had a whole year out in 2015, I think it was, with a knee injury, and that just set him back a bit. But he's a high-class player who I've always rated, and he just looks red-hot right now. So, Gudbranson, bet on him to score at any time as well. But over 2.75 goals is plus 108 is my bet.
Okay, we'll look after the goal scorer as well. Just want to add here, because I know you like some of the more interesting leagues across not just Europe, but the world as well. I mean, just on the form, I asked Eva about, you know, the fact that the domestic season hasn't started. I mean, do you leave teams alone, even domestically, until there's a few games in your form book here? Would you not look at Molde because they've not played domestically so far this season, RJ? How do you see it when those Scandinavian sides re-engage in European football at this stage of the year?
Yeah, I typically, if it's domestically, I wait until 3-4 matches are under the belt before I participate in any wagering. But as Steve did allude to, Molde has participated in what they believe they call the Atlantic Cup. So they've had some competitive matches, which is good enough for me to sort of leverage those results and statistics for tournament play. So I do wait typically for domestically, but I mean, I think this match was challenging to arrive at a pick personally. I don't mind the look of goals here. I think Club Bruges on the road are a bit inconsistent as of late, and I do like the look of both teams to score, but it was minus 159, minus 160. So that's obviously out of range, but you know, I think that plus money, this is a good value bet, Steve. I agree. I think Molde, both sides have the firepower to get it done. And I know we're talking about the Europa League. I wanted to just mention something quickly that I saw yesterday, Norwegian Benjamin Stoke from Kristiansund, the newly promoted side in Norwegian second league, they're promoted to the top division, seeing we're talking about Norway, has signed with Breidablik, the Icelandic side. So they found their new striker. So I don't know if you saw that, but a little bit of news out of Norway this weekend.
It's a big transfer window season in Scandinavia now, and there'll be a lot of action, yeah, across the board. Mm. So you want to, if you're those who are looking for our rights in those leagues, you want to be waiting two or three more weeks, really.
One more match preview to look at. Will's got to play for us. Union Saint-Gilloise against Fenerbahce. This is 3 p.m. on Thursday. Later kickoff, the Belgian side are plus 128, Fenerbahce plus 205 here. And both of these teams are on our futures portfolio as well, with Union Saint-Gilloise tipped at 25-1. Fenerbahce tipped at 14s. They're now 18s and 9s. Respectively here, Will. I think you were on Union Saint-Gilloise. Steve, did you put Fenerbahce up?
Yeah, well, we're going to get a quarterfinalist, aren't we, at least?
But, we are.
It's a bit of a naff draw for us, this one. We didn't really want them facing each other yet.
Mm. Will, take it away. What do you like in this game? Who do you think is going to get through?
It's following the overs theme again, with over 2.5, minus 114, another game where I just don't understand the line being set at 2.5. I think maybe lines makers are being a little bit lazy here. Union Saint-Gilloise, constant theme on this show, went over 2.5 in both games in the previous round versus Eintracht Frankfurt. The home leg was particularly open with 3.5 total XG generated and 13 shots on target. I think we see a similar kind of attacking mindset in this game. Fenerbahce have typically played weakened sides in this competition, prioritizing the league, but I think they'll start to take it more seriously now that the knockout rounds have started for them. Five of their six group stage games went over 2.5. I think overall Fenerbahce are just quite an attack-minded team, right? During a particular 10-game stretch in December and January, five of those 10 games finished with 6, 6, 7, 7, and 8 total goals. It was quite an incredible stretch. I think they had a 6-1 or was it a 7-1 thrown against Nordsjælland in this competition, Steve, in the group stage? Crazy, crazy
game.
Yeah,
Nordsjælland battered two teams. Was it 7-1 and still didn't qualify? But they beat Fenerbahce, that was mad.
Incredible. So it's a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde with Fenerbahce this season, but overall 30 of their 43 competitive games have gone over 2.5, which is you know, what is that? That's almost 70%. I just don't understand this game at all. When you look at the offensive weapons on show, you've got Edin Dzeko, Michy Batshuayi, Dusan Tadic, Senis Under for Fenerbahce, and then you've got no mugs in Union Saint-Gilloise in the offensive department with the likes of Amora, 20 goals in all comps this season, Nielsen, 11 in all comps, and Eckert Ayensa, 9 in all competitions. So I think, you know, the theme for my bets and lots of our bets in this show, in this round, are going to be overs, and I'm continuing here. Two attack-minded teams, and the line's 2.5. So I can't really resist.
-114 at the moment if you are playing that line over 2.5 in Union Saint-Gilloise against Fenerbahce, first leg Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern. One, a little bit of an outright play here from Steve. Not a match play as such, but obviously it does feature the games on Thursday. Steve, this is Olympiacos against Maccabi Tel Aviv. You like one of these two to qualify? You've got a to qualify bet.
Olympiacos to qualify, Dan, at -112. BetRivers have priced up both of them the exact same odds. But for me, this is not a pick'em. Olympiacos are the better side overall, anyway, in my opinion. And there's two other factors I want to talk about. I mean, firstly, I really want to be opposing the Israeli teams. Maccabi Haifa as well. I think Fiorentina will easily get past them. It's a difficult situation. We know what's going on in that part of the world for these teams. I just don't think they're going to be playing their best football, you know, in these European competitions. And the second leg is not going to be in Israel. It's going to be in Serbia at a place where Olympiacos have already been this season. You're going to need to help me here, Dan. Baka Topla? How do you pronounce? You know the one.
Yeah, another one.
That's not too far for Olympiacos to travel to. So when you've not got home advantage in the second leg, I mean, I'm looking for an edge here on the betting front. And how is this a pick'em? Yeah. Olympiacos should be the clear favourites over the two legs for me to qualify. Yeah. And so -112. I'm going to snap this one up. You know, the first leg, Olympiacos are -125. They may well win the first leg. But, you know, over the course of two, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind I'm getting an advantage here.
Yeah, TSC, I think the downers aren't they on a lot of websites if you're looking at that for that Serbian side, where they will be playing, of course, not the team that will be in action. Olympiacos to get beyond Maccabi Tel Aviv at -112 as an outright play. Best bets before we wrap up. Will, what's your best play over the course of the Europa League and Conference League Thursday fixtures?
It's got to be Marseille-Villarreal over 2.5. It's outrageous.
RJ?
I'm sticking with the same match. Marseille-Villarreal over 4.5 cards at -112. And I love that over.
Steve?
Yeah, for me, I'm going the same match over 3 Asian goals. So let's hope we can really cash. There's so many good picks on this show. I'm so excited about this round, Dan.
Dan, can you please tell the listeners that you hate this over, just so we haven't all jinxed it? Because if it's a full house, we all know what happens, and then the comments are going to be fire.
I don't really know. I mean, I'll tell you what. The only thing I can offer for that game is that I commentated on a French game on Sunday for TNT in the UK, and the producer who was doing the game, he said, "I hope this game is better than the one that I had last night." So, which game did you have last night? And he said, the Marseille game. I said, well, hang on a minute. That was a 5-1 Marseille one. He says, it's the worst game of football he's seen all season. He can't believe there were so many goals. So if that's his assessment of Marseille. So I don't know. I didn't see the game. Were they that bad, Steve? Should they have won 5-1?
He said, well, the first half was bad.
He said, yeah, the first half of football, terrible. He says, the first half was the worst he's seen all season.
That's the problem when you're facing a side of Ligue 2 quality.
I'm not gonna jinx it. I'm not gonna buck it for anyone, even though that is my role in life.
I heard a rumor that you might have a vested interest in the Molder game.
I have. Well, I'm commentating on the Molder game at the weekend. On Thursday. Thursday. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting one. I've been pegged as the Nordic man for the world feed for Europa League and the Conference League. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be good. I mean, really enjoyed the Bodø/Glimt game. They should have gone through, as you know, against Ajax. I'm going to get with Villa somehow. That might be my best play. But look, I'm interested to see how Marcelinho is in the dugout if he was threatened by supporters from Marseille. Obviously, we shouldn't really laugh at that. But and to RJ's point, white hot atmosphere, be a massive crowd, you would have thought. So let's hope for corners and goals. I'm not going to jinx it for anyone. Mm-hmm. Many thanks. That wraps it up for our Europa League and Conference League edition. And we're going to be back, of course, with the second legs, which come around next week. You can stay up to date with all of the content from the Betting Weekly team on our YouTube channel. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.